Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. This is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Podcast. Every Sunday morning, we'll take a look at a new research-based tip or technique to help you practice more effectively or perform better under pressure. And on the first Sunday of every month, I'll have a guest from the music, sport, or research world who will share their insights on how we can all be a little more awesome in the practice room and on stage. The 1960s gave us a lot of cool stuff, like Jimi Hendrix, skateboards, and the Flintstones, for instance. The other thing we got from the 60s was an explosion of interest in the concept of self-esteem, or the beliefs and feelings that we have about ourselves. The idea that feeling good about yourself would lead to success sounds reasonable enough, so it's not surprising that the idea became quite popular. Some went so far as to call self-esteem a social vaccine, arguing that it would lower crime, drug abuse, teenage pregnancy, improve academic achievement, and even strengthen our economy. Over the years, this has led to lots of trophies and ribbons for everyone, bans on keeping score in youth league sports, and even a ball-less soccer league in Canada. After all, failure does feel pretty crappy, and providing our children with lots of praise and encouragement to balance things out seems like a nice way to help them feel better about themselves. But in the long run, is praise really helping? Or could it be doing more harm than good? As it turns out, the impact of praise depends on how you do it and to whom you're doing it. Done one way, it can improve confidence and performance, but done another way, and you can actually set students up to feel worse about themselves. How's that? Well, we tend to assume that it's particularly important to praise children who have low self-esteem. It's tough to see them feeling so down on themselves, and can be tempting to think that if we can just get through to them with some warm and fuzzy praise and encouragement, perhaps they'll start to believe in themselves too. But as it turns out, not all praise is created equal. Consider the two kinds of praise you could offer a student. One kind of praise is called person praise. This would be like saying, "Wow, Charlie, you're such a good singer," where we praise who he is. This kind of praise is directed at Charlie's innate character and relatively stable personal qualities. Another kind of praise is process praise, such as, "You did a really beautiful job with that song, Katie," where we praise what Katie did. This kind of praise is directed at her work, effort, strategies, thought process, and so on. In other words, things that are changeable and under her control. And why does this matter so much? Well, these two types of praise have different effects, depending on a student's pre-existing level of self-esteem. Researchers from Utrecht University and The Ohio State University had 313 public school children participate in a computer-based reaction time game against what they believed to be an opponent from another school, though it was really just an automated computer program. They received on-screen feedback from a so-called webmaster who would give them praise like, "Wow, you're great," or "Wow, you did a good job," or nothing at all. The children's level of shame was measured before and after receiving praise to see how this might affect their emotional response to a loss. As the researchers predicted, when the children were provided with person praise, they experienced an increase in shame after losing. But when students were provided with process praise, losing did not trigger a spike in shame when they lost. What's even more interesting is that the amount of shame that kids experienced following a loss was significantly worse for those who were low in self-esteem. In other words, person praise makes a bad situation even worse for kids who are low in self-esteem. And why does person praise have this effect? Psychologists have a couple theories. Some suggest that if we praise someone for who they are, when they experience the inevitable failure, they attribute this failure to themselves, which can feel pretty rotten. Because logically, if I experience success as a function of my inherent smarts, failure must mean that I'm not smart enough, talented enough, or good enough. Also, when we person praise a child's successes, the underlying message they receive is that we value them when they succeed, but if they fail, our esteem, our love, or respect for them goes down a notch. This puts the child in a tough place where they constantly have to seek out and live up to others' expectations in order to feel like they're worth something. The tough thing is that when we see a student who doesn't believe in themselves, it's awfully tempting to use person praise and say things like, "You have a great singing voice, you're so smart, you have such a terrific sense of humor." Are we somehow predisposed to inadvertently sabotage these students' self-esteem? Well, in a second study, the researchers found that parents gave children with low self-esteem twice as much person praise as children with high self-esteem. In other words, it appears that when we see a child or student who is lower in self-esteem, we're more likely to provide them with person praise, which makes them feel worse about themselves when encountering failures, which prompts us to respond with even more person praise, leading to a downward spiral of diminishing self-esteem, more person praise, and so on. So what are we to do with all of this? Well, whether a student is high or low in self-esteem, it seems that when providing feedback on their performance, it's helpful to get into the habit of positively reinforcing those things that the student can control: their actions, behaviors, choices, strategies, approach, effort, focus, thought processes, and so on. Concrete, specific things they can change and improve on over time. As some coaches in sports will say, always blame the strategy, never the player. Or phrased in a more slightly positive way, praise the behavior, not the person. Incidentally, don't start Googling for ball-less soccer in Canada. You'll find some information about it, but it's not a real thing, just an April Fool's prank from back in 2013. But isn't it interesting that this feels like something that could be in the realm of possibility? You can find links to this week's study and other resources at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. And if you found the episode helpful, please share it with a friend or practice buddy who you think might also enjoy experimenting with this during the coming week.